T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
So I didn't realize it was already time to record. So I was busy. I was nose deep in the stock market, by the way.
Oh, yeah. How did we do?
We're doing well. Yeah, we're doing really good. By the way, it's my new side gig.
Is it? There's a couple times where I've gotten a little bit obsessed and I keep checking it. And then I'll go a day. I'm like, I think maybe it was Good Friday when it was closed and I was on a roll checking all the time. And then since the weekend, I haven't really checked. This morning I did once. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's better than I thought it was going to be. All right. So that's it.
Yeah. Our Intercom stock went up. It went up like,
oh, did it?
Yeah. Like 11% or something like that today. I might be exaggerating. Let me double check. Yeah. 11%.
Okay. So I don't know what that means in like terms of like how many cents or dollars, but.
So it was somewhere around 80 or 90 cents. It's a little over a dollar now.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, that's good. That's good. That's a good sign.
But, you know what? I'll take the W.
So, exactly. Yeah. And I was excited too on Friday. I text my friend. I was like, dude, what time do the markets open? It was like 9 o'clock. He's like, they're closed because of Good Friday.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea.
Which I had no idea until I was like, everything doesn't seem to be moving on my little ticker. Interesting. And then I looked it up and I was like, okay, well, there you go.
So but something I've learned about investment folks, for lack of better terms, and I could be totally wrong. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. But they'll never actually tell you what to do. They'll do, like, you could.
You mean like a financial advisor person?
Yeah, maybe they're in wealth management, they're in finance, they manage some fund. You know, because there's a lot more people that do that than you would really think. At least I run into them on the golf course a lot.
Okay.
And so those people
are you hoping to get like a tip out of them, and they never say? Kind of like, yes. When I was like, hey, buy this one stock. It's really cheap. And you're like, okay.
Exactly. Yes. Like, you know, but that's word of mouth. That there's nothing to that. We're just friends talking about it. But I think to them, it's their profession.
And I'm not an expert by any means. I just got an email and I was like, oh, the stock's at 50 cents. Well, why not throw $100 at it?
Yeah. It's it's done really well. And so I have run. So usually when I play golf during the week, it has to be early in the morning. Well, after I did that for quite a while, I realized that normally the people I was being paired up with owned their own business, or they worked, you know, they could work from their phone, or they manage, they're a manager of some sort where they don't have to be in the office, or they can be on the golf course. And so I would kind of pick the brain of the people I'd play with that were investors or worked in wealth management and ask them about the stock market. And I realized that no one would ever give me advice. Well, I have a friend of mine named Dominic who he works in wealth management. Like he's, you know, just graduated with his degree in finance. I could get that wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is, or accounting or something. And he works in Lake Jackson for a wealth management company. And he's kind of new to the stock market too, but I was asking him questions and even he won't tell me what to do. You know, and I'm like, come on, man, friends, like, what should I sell this or should I just hold on to it longer? He's like, I don't know. It depends on what you want. Do you want long-term, or are you looking for short-term money, or are you looking for, I'm like, no, man, I just want you to tell me, sell the stock and make your profit. Yeah. Don't.
What's funny, because you find those websites that'll say strong buy, don't buy, hold, you know, whatever. But I guess when it comes to real people, maybe it's easier to spout off the advice on the internet.
Yeah. And those people might not be employed, or they're just trying to, you know, gain a following. Cause I thought about it. I was like, you know, all I have to do is put a disclaimer. Hey, look, don't take my stock advice, but I'm really getting into this. If you want to follow my journey, join my Instagram blog about stocks. As I started realizing, I was like, man, I have like 6 stocks that I've bought. Like I'm diversifying my own portfolio over here. I felt like I was like a stock market whiz, you know?
Yeah. I think I bought into 5 or 6 different stocks, but the problem is they were all cheap. They were all like at under or slightly above a dollar, the stock was when I bought it. And they're all COVID-19, you know, companies that are trying to like make a cure or a vaccine or something.
Yeah. Well,
so I figure strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah. Well, the MBRX is, I cannot say the name. I've tried pronouncing it quite a few times, but I can't say the name very well.
Oh, the name of the company is like Mosellan or something like that.
Yeah. It's like biology molecules is what my head sees, but that's not what it is. It's like molecules and biology.
MOLECULIN, Mosellan. I think that's what it is. Am I right?
MOLECULIN. So Moleculin Biotech. That's what I'm going to go with.
Oh, see. Moleculin. See? I was like Mosellan. Like, see, I totally like slaughtered it. Yeah. So you're...
I've been looking at it for a while though, trying to figure it out, and just now it came way easier than it has ever. But it's $1.30, and I bought it for 47 cents.
Okay, and I bought it at when it was at 60, I think.
It was up to $1.56 last week, and the reason being is because news broke that they had the a compound that could stop the replication of the coronavirus 100%, and so immediately people ran with that as if they had found the cure, which I am guilty of that too. I was texting my friends, "Hey, I think they found the cure," but
you're that guy.
Yeah, but really, what it is a compound that goes to the drug. Is from what I can understand, because I'm not kidding you, Aaron. I am deep in my spare time reading these biology articles and stuff.
I forwarded you that email from yesterday, right?
Which
one?
Apparently,
there's going to be a conference call, and I think that's the reason why it started going up again, because they were going to talk about it on that conference.
I
think
that.
The conference call is either tomorrow or Thursday.
I might have to be there for that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll allow me to ask questions.
Well, I mean, it was a press release, so you might be able to. Because
it's a public offering.
Let me see. Let me go to my.
They did put out some news report how they didn't find the cure and they didn't try to insinuate that. They just found something that stops the replication of the virus, which can be used as a drug compound in coordination with other people's efforts. And it still has to go through trials. Like, they tried really hard to clarify that they didn't have the cure, quote unquote, you know, at least that's how I deciphered the weird articles written about them.
It's Thursday between 4:30 and 5, or that's Eastern. So 3:30 and 4 our time. And there's the link on that email I sent you.
All right. So I'm in there.
You're going to be on the conference call. And it's to discuss the COVID-19 potential drug candidate. So
there it is. That's what I'm saying. We got to get this done. And if so, I'll give you all the credit. I'll buy you dinner or lunch or something.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, so my friend Dominic, you know, I had told him about that stock when you told me about it, and I felt like I believed in it. I was like, oh, I feel like this is a good buy. And when I showed him the big surge, he's like, oh, I knew I should have done it when you told me, man, you told me. And it's funny how I told him, I feel like the online poker player invading the World Series of Poker. Like, I'm so unorthodox, and I'm not really. You know, like, I'm not a stockbroker whatsoever. You know, I'm just in there messing around and kind of getting lucky, so to speak.
Well, you know? I figure at the time, which, I mean, still it's a dollar or whatever, but I mean, you had nothing to lose. You know what I mean?
I was going to spend that money anywhere else.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anything, now COVID-19 and being quarantined at your house, you're not spending money on nachos every day.
Exactly.
Now you can do this.
There's this thing on it's a TD Ameritrade app you can download for your computer called Thinkorswim, and so it's like this huge grid of all these different things. And I was deep reading about calls and puts and options and stuff. So like, I have Planet Fitness, right? And so there's a way somehow that I can offer my stocks that I own. I can offer 10 of them for really cheap. And if someone offers to buy them, then they can buy them. And if the price doesn't get to a certain amount, then I get twice that money back. So it's like this game within the stock market. I don't understand it enough to do it.
Okay, because sometimes there is some terminology that, like, I don't understand. You know, when I bought the stocks, it'll say limit, this, that. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. But we're just going to buy it and see what happens.
Yeah, so I've been watching videos to try and learn what it all means. And they start losing me. But I've always had this theory as a kid that if I would just read something enough, I could soak it in and figure it out. Like, if I could just inundate myself with enough of the information, eventually I could understand what it was and what was going on.
You know what? I told myself that about, you know, playing the piano. If I just try hard enough, it'll just happen. But
has it happened?
So far, I got like a part of a song by watching it and listening, but I don't know what I'm pressing. I don't know what keys I'm pressing to save my life.
I know what you're saying. Like, you couldn't, you, if you were, if they showed you the same music on a chart, you wouldn't know what it was that you were.
Oh yeah. I'd be like,
do you know how to read music?
Hell no.
Oh, you don't know how to read
music? When I was in the fourth grade, we all had to pick a musical instrument in the fourth grade, and they got all the musical instruments and you went around and figured out which one interests you. I realized really quickly, I don't have the coordination for drums. And
everybody always wanted to play the drums.
Right. And the other options were like saxophone. Well, no, sorry. That to me is not sexy. Clarinet. Everybody played the clarinet. So I was like, I'll play the flute. And I could not read the music. It's like, as fast as my mind and my hands, as soon as I figured it out, we were already like five notes past it. You know what I mean? So I always had to write the letter above the note so that I'd know if it was A, I would just, you know, play A versus the musical note.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
For sure. It was face and then all good dogs go to heaven or something like that. It was, or all good dogs get fleas, or it was like, that was the way to remember the notes. F-A-C-E.
Oh.
And then all something, something, something. Yeah, that's what I remember. I played the French horn in seventh grade, and it wasn't for me. I tried it, but it was really boring. Couldn't hang on.
Doing the trumpet, I don't think I would have.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Where you got to, like, put your lips together and
yeah,
make a sound. Yeah, that was really, same thing with the French horn. It's really tough. And then but also the saxophone with the reed is really difficult, too. Apparently, once you figure out how to do it, it's easy, but I try to play the saxophone. I really couldn't keep the steady flow of air to create the sound with the reed.
Yeah. I wish I would have picked something else. I can't remember if violin was an option. I feel like it was. And my friend played violin. And now it's like, that would have been something kind of cool to play, or guitar. But I don't think guitar was an option. But
yeah, you could set up like a little stage out in your driveway with a violin and serenade the neighbors with classical music.
Or, you know, screeching violin sounds.
Like terrible notes.
That's one thing about being in quarantine. All of the things that I thought I would be doing that I haven't done. And I'm like, there is a small part of me that I will be a little sad when it's over. I know that sounds weird, but
why? Because you didn't do something?
Yeah, like, I was really hoping that I would get way more organized, or that I would like start this fitness routine, or, you know, it's like, look around my room. There's like all this crap that I need to put away, do, hang up. And I haven't done any of it.
Well, when we get done doing the podcast, do it.
Yeah. I mean, I started a second ago with I have this printer that I've had forever. It's a wireless, printer, all-in-one copier, whatever, and I've never hooked it up. And so I'm like, all right, screw it, let's hook this bad boy up. Well, I hook it up, then it doesn't work because the ink in it is so old, it's dried up. So I order more ink on Amazon. It comes, I put it in there, I'm like, oh, boom, this is easy. And then I start seeing if I can copy, because it's got a little copy machine. Nothing's coming out, like the ink's still not coming out. So I'm like, so I've ran through it like a million times, cleaning it, to try to make it work, and I still can't make it work. The only thing it'll print is in hot pink and yellow.
I mean, what else do you need, really?
I mean, I guess it gives it a little flavor, but
you used to have to get black. Just have to get black paper.
Maybe, yeah, or yeah, I don't know what the heck, but
that's how you got to do it. Got to get black paper, make the most of it.
Figure this bad boy out. So
I was telling a random friend on Facebook that either I'm getting fat and my mind is just telling myself that it looks good and it looks like I'm not getting fat. It looks like I'm getting fit, or I'm actually toning up a little bit.
That makes no sense.
Yes. Yeah, so it checks out. So as I've gained weight a lot in my life and lost weight, usually through radio endorsements, you know, when during the gaining weight process, while I would see myself in the mirror, I would think that I still looked fine. In fact, sometimes I would convince myself that I looked better because I could see a new curve in my stomach, but I thought it was an ab when it was really a new roll developing in my fat.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Like, and then all of a sudden I'm like, what? I weigh 230? Like, had no idea I was gaining weight. You know, I was coping with it in my mind saying I looked great, and which is
okay.
Fine. And I think we all do.
I wish I had your whatever you got going up in your brain.
Oh, yeah. Well, we never notice it till it's too late, usually, that we've kind of gone that far off astray of what we consider where we want to be, you know? And yeah. So I try to pay pretty close attention to whether I'm close to where I want to be or not. But man, I've been doing burpees in here, like sets of burpees and cycles with my 20-pound dumbbell. Like, I'm getting down doing push-ups and crunches every day. Like, I've been getting after it. I was like, I might come out. It's like, I'm like in a cocoon, going to come out a butterfly when this is all said and done.
Well, I have my bike. So I told myself today, instead of going to Walgreens to pick my prescription via my car, I rode my bike there because it was a gorgeous day. I've been walking my dogs more, but I've been drinking more wine. So that's not really helping.
But I don't think wine is bad for you like that. It's not beer.
Yeah, it's not. But the other thing I've been doing I'll admit, I have cellulite. It's probably the thing on my body I hate the most. And I feel like I've had it ever since I was in high school, but I wish I would have taken a picture of me in high school in the backs of my legs to compare what it looks like now, all these years later. But I bought this thing called the Fascia Blaster. I might have talked to you about it before, but I figure, well, I'm in quarantine. No one's really going to see me. I'll just use the crap out of this thing, hoping that my cellulite looks better. The only problem is when you use a fascia blaster, you bruise up like a freaking banana. So the backs of my legs and my butt cheeks and on the sides of my legs look like I got in a car accident. It is terrible.
Oh my gosh. Pain is beauty, Aaron. Pain is beauty.
I know, but still, like, now I'm self-conscious to wear shorts, and so I'm like, I'm self-conscious no matter what I do.
Well, does it hurt like a bruise, or does it just look like a bruise?
No, it hurts like, well, and when you do it, it's so it's this thing with little prongs on it, the stick, and it's got like four or five different prongs on it, depending, you know, I've got two of them. One's got smaller ones, one's got a bigger one, and you're supposed to rub it, and it hurts when you rub it. Like, you wouldn't think it would hurt, but it hurts, you know, because it's like that, it's massaging that layer of connective tissue over your muscle. And for some reason, it hurts. And it's like what gives you knots on your back. You know, when you got a knot,
oh, yeah,
you can use this thing to rub that out too.
I got you. So, my thought was, it made me think about a foam roller where, like, when you're really tight near a really tender section and you're like, oh, you can feel like you have to break through something almost to get to stretch the muscle.
Well,
I hope it works.
It's kind of like that because sometimes I do my foam roller on my butt cheeks and on my legs. And because I'll find a knot because I have like this one on my right butt cheek. This is so weird. It gets really tight. And so I can roll it and I can feel this like giant knot in it. And I can do that long enough and I'll have a bruise in my butt from
it. But
does
it get the knot out?
It makes it feel a whole lot better. And then I'll start stretching, you know, like trying to touch my toes because I can't touch my toes. So it's all in an effort to try to do that.
Yeah, I got after the foam roller pretty good the last time I went to Lifetime.
You should buy one and just have one at your place.
I know. I should. And maybe that's the next investment.
Oh my God. It's like you can get one at the $5 store for $5.
I know, I was gonna say they're super cheap. You probably get one at Walmart right now.
Which I've been to Walmart like 5 times. But yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been to Walmart yet. I've been to HEB and Fiesta.
I went to Walmart just because I was like, I need some light bulbs for my car. Go to Walmart. Let me go. I bought the most random things. If you look at my cart, you're like, is this really a necessity?
is this essential travel right now? Man, right. I made a tomatilla salsa yesterday, or like green salsa verde. Unbelievable. It was so easy. I was so mad at myself for having never Googled that before. Literally, tomatillos, jalapenos, and a white onion.
Wait, say that one more time. How do you make it?
Tomatillos. I used 3 tomatillos, 4 jalapenos, and half a white onion. And I diced the white onion. I put the tomatillo and the jalapenos in the broiler, right? Which I learned how to, that was the first time I ever used a broiler, which I'm going to use way more now. And you just leave them in there until like the tomato starts to, or the tomatillo starts to kind of pop and it kind of gets burnt. And then you kind of flip the jalapenos and they kind of get a blackish burnt look on them. So then you take them all out, and I use like 5 or 6 limes worth of juice. So about a cup and a half, lime juice, the onion, the jalapenos, the tomatillos, toss them all in the blender. Oh, and 3 garlic cloves. Done. Tasted amazing. Salt and pepper, a little bit of salt and pepper, some chips, off the chain. I was like, wow, I'm mad that it took me this long.
And it's funny. That's one thing I always see, because they always have at Walmart in the produce section, it's always Roma tomatoes, tomatillos, jalapenos, and onions all there together. And I grabbed the rest of it to make guacamole, but I never grabbed the tomatillos.
It made a lot. It made so much that I was like, wow. What am I? There ain't no way I'm gonna eat all this. Like,
maybe you start canning it, and it can be like Nick's tomatillo sauce.
Oh, I like that, Nick's salsa verde. Man, watch out, Aaron. I start a $1 million idea right here.
There you go.
See, I'm glad I met you. You helped me make money on the stocks. Now you helped me make my own salsa company.
That's right, Nick's sauce.
But I really did start wondering how to make it taste better. I was like, man, I wonder what would make it taste even better. Probably wouldn't be. I'm gonna try green onion. Well, not green onion, excuse me, green apple.
Oh, interesting.
Because that's what they use at Pico's over on Kirby in Richmond.
Yeah.
They got this, that green sauce has a hint of green apple to it. When they're, you're like, oh, where did that tartness come from? It's green apple. Yep, that's so. Stock market, cooking, my gosh, I'm becoming a Swiss Army knife.
Oh, well, I was trying to think, like, what else did we have on the agenda for the podcast today?
Well, my mind keeps going to the I Love You Now Die show I watched. Oh,
yes, because that's the one thing, like binge watching shows. I've got into Schitt's Creek, that show on Netflix.
I've heard of that before. I've never watched it, though.
The premise is it's a family that was really wealthy, and they lost all of their money. The feds confiscated everything. And because there was his money manager basically took all of his money. And so the government went after him. And he at one time bought a town named Schitt's Creek as a joke. But apparently the government feels like that's the only thing that they're allowed to keep. So they get to keep this town and they move there. And it's the trials and tribulations of this rich family learning to live in Schitt's Creek.
Gotcha. All right. So how many seasons, episodes are we talking here?
There's 6 seasons, and it just finished in like forever. And I'm on season 2, and I think so it's like 13 episodes a season.
You're on season 2, 13. So you got a long way to go.
Well, or maybe I'm on season 3 now.
Either way.
The show is like, it's only a half an hour,
I think. Oh, okay. That's not bad then.
Yeah. So so it goes by pretty quickly. So, and one thing that's interesting, it's you, do you know who Eugene Levy is?
I only think of the other Levy guy. Yeah. Was he from American Pie?
The dad in American Pie with the big eyebrows. Yeah. So he's the dad on this, and the mom from Home Alone is the mother.
Oh, I like both of them.
Yeah, so those are the mom and dad. They have a son and a daughter. I don't know who the girl is in real life. Like, I don't recognize her from anything else. But the son on the show is actually his real son in real life.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think his daughter is on the show in a different role, but it's just kind of funny, look, you know, seeing father and son act like father and son, but in a different way. Yeah.
I bet you they really, do you think they got a bargain, or do you think they charge them high rate for both of them?
Well, they, I guess the two of them created the show.
Oh, well, that's cool. Even way cooler then.
Yeah. So you'll have to check that out. But anyway, let's go to what you were telling me about your crime show, because you were telling me about this the other day. But
so you probably remember hearing about it in the news. It was in 2014. I remember because I just moved here, and I remember talking to Greg Thunder about it. Like, wow, dude, did you hear this? Like, I couldn't believe it. They were kids. You know, they're like 17 and 18 year old kids. The girl was 16 or 17, I believe. The kid was definitely 18. And the story was about the girl who texted the boyfriend to kill himself.
Yes. Okay. Because I remember she, I mean, it was national news, national headlines.
She was encouraging him to kill himself. And they said that she had texted him to get back in the truck. And that was kind of the narrative that I had heard, and kind of that the way I heard it was that she was texting him incessantly, telling him to kill himself and come on, go do it. You need to do it. You should do it. Like constantly coaxing him, pushing him over the edge. And I remember thinking, wow, what a evil person, you know? Well, then I watched the documentary, and Aaron, let me unpack this. Okay, so this came out last year, first of all. So this is, spoiler alert, whatever. Like, I can talk, I feel like I have no issue talking about it.
She was just on trial.
Yeah. She has like two or three more months left on her prison sentence, and she's done. And so I've watched it twice now. So having watched it the second time really kind of tied some stuff together. So they didn't meet any more than five times in real life. All of their relationship over the course of like 2.5 years was all text message and Snapchat. That's it. And they sent hundreds of thousands of messages to each other, right?
Okay.
So the kid, I want to say his name was Conrad. It is Conrad. I've watched so many documentaries, I'm scared I'm gonna like cross all the names, right? So Conrad. It was Conrad Roy III, I believe, or Ray, and he had tried to commit suicide on multiple occasions. He had said that, you know, and he had met this girl, Michelle Carter, at their beach house in Florida, and it just so happened that they lived about 30 minutes or an hour away from each other in Massachusetts. And so their families were friends, you know, so like the aunt invited, you know, introduced them all together. And so that's how they initially became connected. Well, to her, they were in a relationship, and she played up this relationship with him, and they were texting, I love you all the time. I love you too. Like deep child love, you know, like constantly telling each other sweet things. Well, at the same time, Conrad was really having a tough time. His dad was abusive to his mom in front of him. They went through a really violent divorce. And then on one occasion, he even got in a fist fight with his dad where the police were called. Like there was a lot of turmoil within the family. And this documentary kind of brings all that out and kind of really expands on the text messages, right? Well,
okay.
He had talked multiple times about trying different things to commit suicide and this and that. And she was like, oh, you know, your family would be sad. You don't want to do that. Trying to talk him out of it for months and months and months and months of this relationship. The way it seemed, he used her as the feed to his desire. She was the physical representation of the sadness that he felt about himself and the wanting to kill himself. And he would express that to her. And one text message was like, look, you can't tell anybody about this because that's the only thing that would ever make me hate you. And she's like, I won't ever say a word about anything. And so he was confiding these deep, dark, like, feelings with her. And like in one conversation, he was saying how the devil talks to him and was telling him to kill everybody. And while he was in the hospital for his overdose or whatever it was, right? So they put him in like the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, the devil talks to me too, blah, 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 and this and that. And maybe we're a match made in hell. And this, like, this really weird stuff. When they started unpacking all that, you started to see that these kids had this weird text relationship that wasn't real life. It was literally a fantasy in both of their heads. You know?
Oh my God. The girl, by the way, she got released.
Oh, she's released?
Yeah. She got released in January.
Wow. I was attracted to her. Is that weird? I liked her eyebrows. I don't know.
Why were you attracted to her?
I don't know. Something that, well, she had really long hair. She was really tan. And, you know, I'm a sucker for blondes, but like there was something.
You're a sucker for blondes that would kill you.
It's so messed up and funny.
I just remember looking at her thinking, she has got the most intense eyebrows I've ever seen in my entire life.
For sure. But she was a sociopath, though. Like, so they bring up this relationship that she was texting about with her friends, with this girl named Alice that she met at softball camp, and that they were really, you know, really great friends. But then it, you know, it kind of evolved and they started talking to each other like they were dating, and she had all these deep feelings for Alice and blah, blah, blah. She was telling this her friends about it. And this is all came out in the text messages that were part of the court, you know what I mean? The court documents.
Mm-hmm.
And, Alice and her mom refused to be on interview and said that whatever she says is not true. She is making it all up in her head. They wish not to be contacted about it. Like, basically, Alice claims that nothing that girl says is true. She is a sociopath. She made all that up in her head. It's not real.
Interesting.
And so they got her on, basically, they didn't have, she waived the right to a jury by her peers. And so the judge would get to rule on the case. And
okay.
And so that was a big, I wondered why she didn't have a jury trial, you know, trial by jury. And then when they interviewed the people, like the regular people in Boston or around the area.
I think I can see why.
It was clear why. Yeah. They were like, oh yeah, she does not want a jury to hear this case.
Yeah. Cause I was like convincing, I mean, especially it had been talked about, the judge is going to have a more prob. I mean, I hate saying this, but the thought would be possibly a more clear way of looking at the law.
Yeah, fair-minded approach to everything that's going on, because they always talked about how there was no crime committed. Technically, there wasn't a crime because she didn't kill him. He committed suicide, and they were gave her involuntary manslaughter charges. And they said that her wanton and reckless behavior attributed to his death, meaning that because she never told him in any way, shape, or form to stop, you shouldn't kill yourself, alert the authorities, call his parents, call somebody, tell someone, hey, this kid's at Kmart and he said he's killing himself. And instead she didn't say anything. She just kept it quiet until weeks later.
Why did she encourage him to, you know, like those famous text messages where she would say, go back in the truck and finish it off.
Okay. So, all right. So she never said that. That was where the media took. Okay. So what she said, I want to say, we'll just call it weeks after the death, weeks after, she texted her friend Sam Boardman and said, I could have stopped this. I could have prevented it. He got out of the truck and I fucking told him to get back in. Mm. And so, but that was only in text to Sam that she claimed she did that. But the catch was, in my opinion, you can't say you got to take her word for that when earlier she was saying some bullshit that wasn't real at all. Like, you can't say believe her now, but don't believe her there. You know what I mean? Like, if she's if she's a sociopathic liar, then she's lying all the time. You have to assume everything's a lie. And she purposely lied multiple times to her girlfriends in text message to try to get them to react to her wildly so she could get attention. Multiple different examples
were
given.
Well, the thing about, in my experience with sociopaths, I always found that a majority of what they say is a lie, but when they are telling the truth, there's always a hint of, there's a little bit of a lie in it, or vice versa. So they'll tell a story, but there's a little bit of truth in it, but most of the rest of it is a lie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they built it. So there was no doubt they were on the phone for 45 minutes while he was in the truck. They know that for sure.
How did he, like, the
because of the phone, the phone records.
How did he kill himself?
He bought a generator to power a water with a water pump and a water pump, rigged it into the back of his, into the back rear cab of his truck and turned it on so he would die of the fumes. He did all the research on his own. He researched how to set up the water pump and he researched what to do, how to do it. Going back to like the encouraging text, right? So there were encouraging texts because that morning the first thing she texted him was, "Are you awake?" He says, "Yeah." She says, "Are you going to do it today?" He's like, "I don't know. I'm still at the house." And she's like, "You should do it during the day." And like was like giving him those types of suggestions. You can, and so the suggestive text messages, if you will, to die, so to speak, right? If you're going to talk about that as an era in their relationship, this is like the way the psychologist explained it. Basically, switched her medication from Celerex or something like that, this one to, or from Prozac to Celerex or something.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
When she was on Prozac, she had tried to commit suicide. She confided into a friend about this attempt that she almost had, which is a major indicator on Prozac for a youth taking, or for a side effect. Suicidal thoughts is a possibility on Prozac. So they switch her to this other drug. Well, it was right around the same exact time she switched drugs. She went from trying to keep him from talking about committing suicide to encouraging him. It coincides exactly. It was, and the catch was that that drug that she switched to when she began encouraging him was the same drug he was on.
Interesting.
It's like she takes that drug and gets on his wavelength.
I'm just so confused. Like, I would love, they never talked to the girl though.
No, her and her family refused to interview. The only audio you get from her is when they first brought her in for questioning, they asked her for her cell phone. And that was the last, like they talked to her a couple, they asked her a couple questions and then they asked her for her cell phone and they asked her to unlock it. And they say, you know, well, we have a search warrant for your cell phone. So we're going to hold on to this for a little while. And she's like, am I going to get it back? And he's like, yeah, eventually.
It's crazy. She got 2.5 years in prison and it was reduced to 15 months plus 5 years probation. She is now 23 years old, right? And her birthday is August 11th. So she'll be 24.
She's a Leo, kind of close to your age. Aren't you, isn't that your birthday?
No, I'm kind of close to my birthday. I was like, she does not represent Leos, okay? but I'm just thinking like 5 years probation. All right, so say she's done with probation by the time she's 28. My thought is in 5 years, are people gonna, because it's like now she gets to go live life. How is that going to be?
No one's going to recognize her, though, I don't think. I mean, those eyebrows are pretty...
You are so wrong. Those freaking eyebrows? Are you kidding? They're going to spot her a mile away. Are you kidding me?
Well, no, eventually people forget. You know how it is. Especially now during quarantine. She's got plenty of time to stay home and chill and adjust to life out of prison. I don't think she's served hard time, you know? But also I would venture to say that the entire ordeal, she learned her lesson, and if she didn't, then she is absolutely crazy. Like she, because I don't, this is what I think. I think she was on the phone with him, and I believe he was going through with it. She was trying to comfort him, or she didn't believe him, because that was the other thing. There were lots and lots of instances where he would say he was going to kill himself and then stop replying to her all night. And then in the morning he would be there. And he did this repeatedly for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to his death. Like in her mind, it was a fantasy world. You know what I mean? In her real life, she was a great student.
I would love to know, like, what her parents, what both of their sets of parents are like.
So
you know what I mean?
The son's parents are both interviewed and talked to, you know.
Oh, that's right. Well, they had the dad was abusive. So.
Yeah, and he talked about the fist fight with his son, and he was like, I think every man has had the conversation with his son where, well, if you ever try to punch me, you're gonna be in for it. And he goes, and that's what happened. And mm-hmm. you know, and I was watching with my friend, she asked me, did you ever fight your dad? And I have a stepdad and a real dad, and on one occasion with both of them, I definitely tried them. You know what I mean? I definitely mm-hmm. tried them, and they had to put the man strength on me. And I was like, whoa, like I realized like it was different.
Yeah.
I was probably like 12 or 13. And I remember kind of like getting with my stepdad and kind of roughhousing him. And he just pulled this like, wah, wah, pa, like on the ground. Like I was incapacitated immediately. Like
it
was man strength. Like, and I would say the same with most 13 or 14 year olds. If I had a 13 year old son right now and he was acting up, I could probably put him down on the ground pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like just because I'm a grown ass man. And at the end of the day, I could see where Conrad was fighting back like that, you know, like, cause we all get rebellious, you know, kids get rebellious and he clearly had some sort of chemical imbalance going on or else he wouldn't have been on psychiatric drugs.
Right. As far as her parents, cause I'm assuming they
were blindsided. They had to be.
I would love to just be a fly on the wall at her family home.
Well, you know, like I said, I really believe there was a lot of fantasy involved. Like a lot of like this, like, oh, that was the other kind of strange quirk that they talked to. Actually, the guy in the documentary goes, okay, it was weird. It wasn't strange. It was weird. Did you ever watch Glee?
Oh, I only watched like an episode. I'm not into those scene
so there was shows. The main character, Lea Michele, maybe she was married to the actual character, Corey Monteith. They were both like, they were actually a relationship in real life.
Yes.
And in the show. Well, in real life, he committed suicide. Well, in the show, they wrote him as getting killed off. And so you had like these people, you know, it was a strange moment in television, as he explains it, because you had these people mourning in character to the loss of this fictional character that actually died.
Yeah, that would be weird.
And so they were like singing these songs to praise him and, you know, and like uplift his name and, you know what I mean? And like, it was like a montage of music to sing songs about how great he was, if you will, or how sad they were. In that episode, she uses certain language about the character, and then in real life interviews when Lea Michele talked about it, like with Ellen, she uses certain language to describe it, and this girl Michelle used that same language to her friends about Conrad dying. So like she identified with these shows and the psychologist or whoever it was, the critics, whoever it was on the documentary, were trying to insinuate that somehow she felt like she was living out this fantasy of the TV shows that she loves so much in this relationship with Conrad.
Damn.
And like she really wanted to be the grieving girlfriend.
So twisted.
And I think she was just a liar. I think she was just a kid thinking she could get away with anything in text world and then realize that everything was, you know, kind of unraveling, and she just liked to tell lies for some reason.
There's a couple of those stories where the girl, there's another one where the boyfriend killed himself and the girlfriend was like, I hope you die. And they would do it to each other. So it was just like this like completely poisonous relationship. Yeah. They were kind of abusive to each other. I hope you die. I hope you die. Why don't you go kill yourself?
Well, they do that. And they show where in this relationship, they had the same thing where they would like have this weird sort of like wordplay back and forth that they would do where it would kind of get violent or angry or mean. And that was their way of like getting attention from each other. And at the end of the day, I really thought it had to do more with attention. Like she got attention and satisfaction from people reacting to her stories, her.
I mean, I do think that a lot of times when people get so mad or sad, they threaten to kill themselves. It is for attention. You know what I mean? But so I could see something along those lines.
And they fed into it with each other. They knew that they could reach out to her. She knew she could reach out to him, and he was going to tell her something that got her attention somehow. You know, she would like text her girlfriends and invite them to hang out, and they would never come hang out with her. So she would tell them some wild story, some wild lie to try and get their attention.
People lying. Oh, man.
I hesitated to tell this story, but I wanted to because this is what it made me think of. When I was like in middle school, at the time, three-way calling was the coolest new thing, right? And so I had my own phone line.
Already
in my
line.
And so we could like, you could three-way call someone or whatever. The girl I was kind of dating introduced me to her girlfriend from another town, and we would all talk, right? Because she had moved from that town to our town, I guess. And for some reason, I made up some lie, right, about what Amanda told me about Jamie. Right. Or what Jamie told me about Amanda, like whatever it was completely fabricated. Right. Yeah. I don't know why I decided to do that. You know what I mean? But I told the one girl, oh, yeah, Jamie said this. And then it was just like giant drama filled fest. Right. And I couldn't believe like the outcome. I ended up losing them all as friends. You know what I mean? Because ultimately admitted that I had made it up, you know, and I couldn't explain myself, so I looked like an idiot. But
have you done it since?
No. That was a lesson. See, that was like, I felt awful, you know what I mean? I felt like I couldn't believe that that's what came of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I can think of the one time, I'm the worst liar. Like, I am the worst. But I do remember doing something very similar, and I was like 5, and I lied about my mom spanking me to my aunts and my grandma.
Oh.
And I said something that, you know, my aunt, that my mom spanked me, and for just looking at something. And I, part of me wonders if that's why they've never really liked my mother.
Oh man, that's so mean.
I was 5 at the time, and I've never lied about anything since.
I think it says more about social like experiments, so to speak. As a young kid, we were like socially experimenting. What happens when we say something that's out of our imagination as the truth? Will people believe us? Like testing the water on how to be believed.
I've always felt bad about that.
I remember when I was a kid, I would go to tell my mom something, and sometimes she would, and if I was laughing, she would think that I was lying. And even though I was telling the truth, I was just laughing, right? And she would always think I was lying. So I learned how to say everything with a straight face.
See, you're terrible. I caught somebody. Well, this is how I always knew that the last guy I dated was kind of lying. I mean, he lies about everything. Like, he lies about stupid stuff. He'll tell these outrageous stories. And I'm like, none of that actually happened, did it? And he's like, no, it didn't. I'm like, why do you even lie about that? It's so dumb. But I could tell when I would question him about something, just say somebody text him. And I said, who are you talking to? And he would say, my friend. I go, really? Who's your friend? Is it a girl? And he would be like, and he'd start laughing and like have this weird face. I'm like, see, I know you're lying. Like you, because he'd always do that weird smile thing. And I was
that
like,
was his
see,
tell.
I know when you're lying. Yeah, that was his tell.
And see me, I just straight face everything. I don't care what it is. I can usually almost always put on a straight face and just say it, whatever it is.
I could not do it.
Yeah, childhood memories. Coronavirus, Aaron. Death toll tops 25,000. That's what it says on my TV right now.
Oh, wait, what? In the U.S.?
U.S., yeah, U.S. coronavirus. So,
okay, my question is, I still don't know anybody that's got coronavirus.
I don't know anybody personally either. I know a lot of people who say they think they had it back in November and December and blah, blah, blah. Because if that was the case, then I had it too. But I believe that the jury's still out on that. I saw in Corpus Christi, there's a doctor who is doing these blood tests, right? It's a finger prick where they test your blood for an antibody to see if you've had it or if you have the antibody to fight it off. Apparently, some people have the antibody.
Interesting.
He's charging $50 a finger prick.
Oh, wow. $50?
Yeah. No insurance required. Come on by. Oh, great.
Kind of seems a little sketch. I mean, I know they're doing those tests, but
yeah, it seemed a little weird to me too. I was like, but if you go on, it has like 1,000 shares on his post, and underneath you have all the naysayers. These aren't FDA approved. You know, Facebook has the answers to everything. Katie, apparently, let me see if I can pull it up on my phone. Because my buddy Wu Chang, he is the one who posted it earlier. Two Katy area zip codes among highest COVID-19 cases count in Harris County. 77449, 77084, 77088 in Harris County have the highest numbers of confirmed cases as of April 11 data, between 21 and 40, 61 and 100 in two of the in 084 and 449. 61 to 100 cases in both of those zip codes.
Interesting.
So that's 529 and 99, and then 99 and 10, just north between 529 and 10, between the Grand Parkway and 6.
Okay.
Are you looking online?
Yeah, I'm looking at ABC 13 because I think they have it by zip code. I'm trying to pull it up.
They've got all kinds of testing sites up in the Katy area that are opening up now, because clearly they need all that testing to be done. The other one was Pasadena. I remember Pasadena had a pretty high count, and I want to say League City or Texas City, one of them, maybe League City. So did you see the map I posted of the zip codes?
No, I did not.
Here, I'm going to text it to you right now so you can see which one you're in, because I'm 11 to 20 in my area. Because if I'm not mistaken, you're in a 21 to 40. You might be in a 41 to 60, actually.
Oh, here we go. Boom. I feel like the mice in my computer are spinning their wheel as fast as they can my computer to go, and it's not working. I am in maybe a 41 to 60.
Yeah, I feel like that's your color. I'd be careful, Aaron.
Interesting.
You're over there ripping and running to all the grocery stores on her bike. And
I mean, yeah, 40.
I'm in the...
you're 11 to 20.
And I bet most of them are homeless.
Oh, that's a good point. 41 to 60. That's so crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty close to home, huh? You probably do know someone. They just haven't said anything.
Well, and my question is, each one of those little blocks, the little chunks, there's 41 to 60 people in that chunk.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of cases in Harris County when you think about it, you know, when you really look
at it. Oh, yeah. How many people have died in Houston, the Houston area?
Oh, I don't. Oh, I could. Let me look at, let me check Mr. Bill Bishop. He's got the running total all the time. Let's see. List.
Oh, I feel like if this is correct, it says a combined 52 in Harris County, and it says combined deaths. I'm just trying to think, like, I feel like there's some states that they don't even have that. You know what I mean? And we've got it in just one city. But then again, could be worse. We could be New York. I mean, I can't even imagine.
So 4 hours ago, the mayor said as of 1 p.m., the city of Houston had given out more than 800 unique codes. Oh, that's for testing. So apparently we're testing up to like 2,000 people a day now or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what I saw.
For anybody that wants to be tested.
Yeah, that's also open now.
Oh, my God. Are you ready for this? There's an article that says a head lice drug being studied as a possible COVID-19 cure.
Where'd you find that at?
On ABC 13. They just had the article come up 14 minutes ago. What?
So you can tell Baytown definitely, I think this is, yeah, I-10 and like Baytown, Channelview, they're a hot spot too for our area. It's kind of hard. It's a fun game to try and see if I can realize where all the different places are at. Like what zip code is what city?
Like, well, that one that's off of I-10, that's off of, I guess that would be Channelview or Galena Park, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And then north of that, you're looking at, what is that, New Caney and Mount Bellevue?
So you got the Beltway, and then you go and you see
that. If you go north on the Beltway.
Well, that's like, is that Crosby? That's
I believe
Crosby.
It is.
Crosby's
yeah.
In Hawaii. I think the ones up Beltway 8, that would be like Lake Houston.
Kingwood.
Yeah, towards Atascocita.
For sure. Yeah, I see you. Now I see it. Now I'm picking up what you're putting down there. And then look at Missouri City, Sugar Land, you know, out that direction. I mean, that's pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. But no one's beating Katy out there at 99. I wonder why. Do you think it was Louisiana Mardi Gras people? Or do you think that maybe they were at – because I feel like that area that is north of 610, between 45 and 249, do you see which one I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one giant
dark blue.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the Ramon Ayala neighborhood, because I drive down Fairbanks, North Houston, which runs through there to get to 249. I drove down that road all the time. I'd stop at this. There were lots of restaurants where they were, you know, in all the letterings in Spanish. And I would stop and get tacos at some of those little carnicerias there. And it was a very, very Hispanic.
Well, community. I feel like that's more that what you're talking about. I feel like, because that's off of 45. I feel like that is that blue chunk is more like Cross Timbers, and that kind of
that you don't area. Think that's Fairbanks, North Houston off of 290 going towards the horse track?
I feel like, well, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Because have you ever taken 249 from 45 to 2?
I've taken 249 down to Antoine.
So, like, if you're on 45 and you take 249 all the way to Willowbrook?
So, if you take 249 to Willowbrook, but and once you go past Beltway 8 and you go go south, I've taken – that's still 249. I've taken that to Antoine, and that's as far as I've gone.
Okay, so if you keep going all the way to 45, like heading south, like it's there's a just a lot of resale car shops and pupuserias.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of a, you know, you could either go Hispanic or it could be a black area.
I really think a lot of it came out of the cook-off tent and the Ramon Ayala concert, because just, and I only say that because how easily it seems to spread. Like all of the research that I've seen, which hasn't been tons, obviously, seems to say that it's super easily contagious, so much that you could just be sitting in the room talking to someone and give it to them. It seems like it's that easily passed on from one person to the next. And in that case, in my mind, if there was a woman who is at the Ramon Ayala concert, then she likely got everyone that she talked to or went with and sat around. They were all possibly contaminated.
True. And especially if we, at that moment in time, we were definitely not paying attention here locally, as far as like, wash your hands, don't touch your face. You know what I mean? I think it was starting to get to that point where we were starting to be a little more cognizant of it, but it definitely wasn't to what it is now.
Deep into the antibacterial world still. Oh, just use antibacterial gel. Just use your antibacterial gel. That's what we were all saying. You know, that's what everyone was kind of doing.
Wash your hands, don't touch your face.
Yeah, we didn't realize the contagion and how easily it was spread. Like, we thought about it. We heard about it. We pontificated, but we didn't actually know. And now that you realize it spreads like that, to me, that woman probably got 10, 15 people unknowingly sick that day. And I don't mean to place blame. It's not that point. I want to make sure that I'm just kind of talking about the way it works, you know, the way it spreads. Mm-hmm. And so many people unknowingly went home, got their family sick or got their neighbor sick. And then the way the nursing homes, that's the perfect example of how
it
spreads. Like, if the whole nursing home or the whole jail can get it, that's pretty serious. You know, that's a really bad infection that spreads like that.
One thing I don't see, you know, they talk about how on this thing that I'm looking at on ABC 13, it's got the sex breakdown of male versus female. And one thing that we hear about nationwide is how it's affecting people of color more for some reason, you know.
There's a couple factors from what I've heard. The one was that they have a higher case of underlying conditions in general. And so that becomes the crux of why they pass from the coronavirus. That's why their numbers are higher. The other was that in underserved communities, healthcare is hard to come by.
Right. But I wonder what that is like for Houston, because that's not one of the stats that I'm able to see. It's like, you know, active cases, age groups, you know, sex, but it doesn't have anything about race and how that is broken down.
Well, I'll say this. I think that rodeo and cook-off were the two catalysts for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way around it, because the people that came out of the tent, there were like four or five people who were all in the same tent.
Four people coming from Louisiana and Mardi Gras.
Absolutely right. There you go. And those people likely went to cook-off and to rodeo, I would imagine. Yeah. At least some of them did.
Sure.
And so those two places become the, you know, the spread. Well, if you weren't there, you didn't get it. And quite frankly, for most of the audience, like, they weren't the biggest shows. They all the biggest shows didn't happen yet. So rodeo kind of got a break, and we got a break because the biggest gatherings at rodeo didn't happen.
Oh God, I know. It was like Lizzo. Oh, all, yeah. Okay.
Do you see what I'm going with that? Like, we dodged a bullet essentially because the biggest gatherings didn't happen here. Like, we dodged the bullet. Like, there was it was the right thing to cancel it. And I think that maybe the underserved communities weren't able to go to rodeo. That was the rest of my point, I guess.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know, when we talk about cook-off, there was people from that tent. And I mean, that's really kind of where it probably really started for parts of our area.
Yeah, because if you think about, because my thing is, if someone was in a cook-off tent and one person had it, it's impossible they didn't give it to other people. I think that was confirmed, actually, that four or five people, you know?
Yeah, because there was, I feel like the Montgomery County case, and then there was a Galveston County case that they got it from that tent.
Yeah,
those
that's what it was.
People were there together. We don't even know where they got it. I mean, where the first person got it. Was it from the tent? Or was there traveling? Somebody else? We'll never know.
I did some research because I was curious. I was curious where the tent was in accordance to where the bull tent was, because I thought, you know, obviously if there was a tent at cook-off where several people got sick, were we close to that tent? You know, was I close enough to inhale it, you know? And so on the map, I found that. So basically what I did is I went to the results of the cook-off and I found the cook-off team.
Did you pull an Aaron Austin?
And I did.
Do some investigative research? What?
I sure did. I learned from the best. And so I found the list of winners, or, you know, the places, and then I found the name of the tent, which was Roadkill Cafe or Roadkill Cookers, I think. And so then I saw where they placed and I saw their name, and so I found their tent number. So then I pulled up the map, which has corresponding tent number, and so then I found it, and it was all the way along 610 at the very end. I believe it was like the very last row,
the very last row. Okay.
Which is actually a good thing, because that means it only partnered two people, not four. You know, there wasn't a front, a back, and a left and right of people, you know, coming in and out, if you will. And so we were,
and also complete opposite side of where we are.
Absolutely right. We're closer to NRG and Kirby, and so we were far away. And so then I was like, I wonder if these people have a Facebook page. So I went to the Facebook page, and they hadn't posted anything on it was the Latino Police Officers Association. They hadn't posted anything in like a year on their fan page. But I went through their tagged photos, and they had a guy who was tagged as the DJ from the year before at the tent. So I went to his page to follow up with him. Which
totally pulled an Aaron. Okay.
Look how far down the hole I traveled, right? And so then I go into this, I go to his page, and there's a live video from the 27th inside the tent. And
which was the day before that the police officer that got it was there.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause he was there on the 28th, they said. And so during this live video, it turns out there's like a celebrity barbecue cook-off going on inside of there. And the guy is kind of filming everyone. And there were a lot of public figures inside the tent. One of which was Deborah Duncan. And then there were other radio personalities in the tent. And there may have been a couple other TV people. I don't recall the whole video. I want to say Deborah Duncan was on stage talking and giving a speech about the barbecue she was eating and thanking the Latino Police Officers Association for all the work they do in the community and stuff. And it made me wonder, I wonder if Deborah Duncan got it. I wonder if she had the
coronavirus. What?
Because she was in
or got tested.
Or even knows.
Yeah, has she even put two and two together to figure, that's a good question.
Does she know she was in the tent that the coronavirus was in?
I would hope that she would know that. Whew, yeah.
I had to go through
a
lot
of searching. Hang on a second. I'm trying to think, I was at cook-off all of those nights, but the Sunday of cook-off that weekend, I believe, was the wine tasting event, the big wine tasting thing that we do.
Oh, at Rodeo, like Rodeo Uncorked?
Yes, Rodeo Uncorked. And I want to say she was there.
Did you talk to her?
I mean, no, but she was like, say like you and I are in the studio together. It'd be like me across the console from you.
But she's looking the other way, or she's talking to someone else?
It's like she's talking to another group of people.
Well, see, I wonder if you're that close, if that's communicable. Is that the word?
That's a good question.
I would think not, but man, and you didn't have any coronavirus symptoms, right?
No. I mean, yes. I get hot flashes, but that's just because I'm a woman.
We're not going to go into details.
That's not the
Yeah, and I only get chest pains because I'm brokenhearted.
Right.
I'm going to send her a tweet, and I'm going to tag the podcast in it and be like, hey, Deborah, we have a question for you at the 38-minute mark about COVID-19. Did you ever have fever, chest pains, or a cough?
Yeah.
Are you corona-free?
It's a
wellness check. I don't watch enough of the local news, or at least I don't catch her enough to know if she's been on TV or not.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I feel like maybe I've seen her since. I just know that Chauncey Glover from ABC 13, he came down with the coronavirus.
So did he get time off, or did he get to broadcast from home? What'd they do for that?
So he got time off, obviously. And then once he was okay, then he revealed that he had it. And now he's doing, his pieces from the house.
Our buddy JC, who was on the show a few episodes ago, have you seen the TV setup that he has for Nick?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I was watching Nick on TV, and it was exceptional backdrop behind him. And I noticed the sound insulation on the wall was the old sound insulation from the Bull studio that they gave away. So JC turned the side room into a TV studio for Nick.
Hey, you know what? I mean, he was so good at putting that stuff together, but that's why, you're going to have him put together your living room and your new
interior
place.
Design. Yeah. I'm going to,
and I told him, I was like, I think I'm going to need you to do something else for me,
because I'm going to have to put speakers in the ceiling and everything. I want to have a nice sound system in my living room and kitchen and dining room, because it's all included together. So
yeah.
I want to have it where, with the music, I can put on the music and it's placed.
Well, and with all that money you've been saving on not eating out, you can afford it.
Yeah. And well, all that money's in the stock market.
No. Well, yeah. There's that.
But hey, we get paid on Friday. That's good news.
Good news. I mean, it's not as big as I'd like.
It never is, Aaron. It never is.
But, and there is that pay cut that we had to take. But you know what? I'm going to take my blessings.
Hey, that's right. Like, a pay cut's better than a job loss, that's for sure.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, like, as weird as it is, a part of me understands. Like, I kind of have, like, it's like, hey, look, man, you want to take a 10% pay cut or do you want to take a hike? They didn't give us that ultimatum. However, it's for the goodness of the group. It's not for... We took a pay cut so they wouldn't fire us all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a job because we took a pay cut, because otherwise they would have to cut more full-time jobs. And
yeah,
it's kind of the way I see it. Like, we'll fall on the sword for each other because, hey, if we're the last one. It's like, if this is a reality show, it's like, yeah, I love my job. I don't want to leave this job. You know what I mean? I love getting to do what I get to do. And I love,
I will eat that cockroach for you.
Yes.
For the betterment of the team.
Yes. Yeah. So that everybody can go on to the next round.
Yes.
Yeah. Fear factor. All in all, I think we have another 3 weeks of this, and I think they're going to start. What businesses do you think they're going to start opening up first?
Well, I know for like the state of Oregon, they were talking about elective surgeries being the first thing to start popping back up. So I can see that. I can see the doctor's appointments. Cause I mean, think about all of the, I was supposed to have a dentist appointment. I couldn't even go. I mean, getting your teeth cleaned, can't go and get, or a filling or whatever. I think those things will start popping back.
I hope haircuts.
Oh, hell yeah. Do you know what I did while waiting for you before this podcast? I said, I had this tiny little pair of scissors and I was letting the sunlight come in through the window and it's shining on all of my little split ends. And I was just snip, snip, snipping away.
Oh, look at that. Cat manicure.
So ridiculous. So yeah, I would love for that to come back. Well, and that's the thing. They talk about how it's not going to fully open, but it's like, how do you really determine? I mean, and how people, because we've talked to, our bosses said, oh, well, it's just not going to, people aren't going to get back to life at normal. And I said, or are you going to have the people that just don't care? And they're like, I'm ready for it to get back to normal. I'm just going to do everything like it was before.
Yeah, I see a lot of that. But also, I think the concerts are going to be down a lot longer than we think. The mass,
That's actually like one of the things I was going to mention. Found this article talking about how some experts, and I don't know who these experts are, but they said they don't think concerts are going to come back until 2021 at the earliest.
Because they don't want people congregating together to stop the spread?
So Zeke Emanuel, he is the director of Healthcare Transformation Institute at the University of Pennsylvania. Good God, that's a long title. He believes that you can't just flip a switch and open the whole society up. It's just not going to work. It's too much. The virus will definitely come back, flare back to the worst levels. So
if they just develop the antibody, we can get over it because they just shoot you with the thing and then you're better, right?
And it goes back full circle to our stock that we mentioned at the very beginning.
Yes, Moleculin Biotech.
Yes, if they can come up with the cure, then we're good.
Did we cover everything we were going to talk about?
I think we did. I mean, right. And then some.
Well,
so don't mind me. I'm letting my dogs out of their kennels.
Hey, who let the dogs out? Aaron did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a good one, Aaron. And I will
sounds good.
See you on the other side.
Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.